in human beings we have this Brahman and Kshatriya, Vaishyas and Shudras. So as a part of the Leela of Lord Krishna, trees, Kadamba tree and Jamuna and cows, they also form an integral part of the Leela. So in trees also there is gradation, because we consider Kadam and Ashwatha, people tree, as very pious, as well as this neem tree and other trees, you see. So that type of gradation. And another thing, they say that in Ram Avatara, some of the sannyasi sadhus who were all over India scattered, and when Ram went for the Vanvas, 14 years, so they became trees here in Vrindavan. So whether tree consciousness, because human being we have that awareness, and tree consciousness and human consciousness, so how you can...
What is your question exactly? You're talking about trees in Vrindavan?
And in Bhagavad it is mentioned that the son of Kuber, they were trees, and Yamaraj...
Yeah, not Kuber, Manikriva.
Well, when you're talking about Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan, then you have to understand many things. First of all, the Leela is nitya. The whole Leela of Krishna is nitya. And every single Leela within that nitya conception is also nitya. He's eternally waking up, he's eternally sitting down, he's eternally taking a bath. Everything is nitya. And all the parishads are nitya. Just like you have a drama, and some people come out and they fight, one person hits the other one, oh, and he knocks out, oh, he's dead. Then they drag his body off the stage. Then after the play, he takes off his outfit or whatever, and then they just go and have lunch. So all these demons that Krishna kills, they're all in the spiritual world. So they just come down here, okay, let's fight, okay, tum, 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 oh, merge into my body. Yeah, okay, merge into my body. Then you go back to, oh, that was really a great production. You know? That was really good. So all Krishna and all his associates and all the demons, and everybody is eternally there with Krishna in the spiritual world. And sometimes, like a roadshow, they come and show everything. So not only what we call the human forms, but all the trees and the Govardhan. Govardhan is conscious. Everything is fully Krishna conscious. And every single aspect of the Dham, from the pebbles to the stones, are all completely Krishna conscious. Even in the Jada Vidya conception, the conception of the knowledge of the material world, Jada Vidya, Prakriti, even there, in terms of ontology and tattva, they say there's consciousness everywhere. There's consciousness in the atom, there's consciousness in the rock, there's consciousness in the stone. And even Prabhupada, I remember hearing on one lecture, he was saying there's in Assam or somewhere, it's like Indian type of place, Assam or Tripura, somewhere he said there's a temple, and in that temple they're worshipping a particular rock. I don't know, he didn't say Shalagrama, he didn't say Govardhan. They're worshipping a rock, and there's some rooftop, you know, it's inside a building, so it's not outside. And it keeps growing, every year it's growing and growing and growing, the rock. And when people are coming, they bathe, they pour water, they pour panchamrit or whatever. And there's some local devata or some local form of god there in that region, and the people are doing regular puja. So then Prabhupada was speaking with some scientist devotees, so he said, how is it growing? Can you explain? How is it growing? How you say that? You say life, the matter, that, you know, life comes from matter and all these things, you know, the scientists. And so how is the rock growing? And then the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, it's by deposition. Because if you leave something outside, if you leave a rock outside and so much dust is in the atmosphere, so much dust is blowing, that, you know, you come back after some time and the rock will weigh a little more, by a few microns or whatever. So much dust collects in the pores of the rock and the rain or whatever. And this way and that. If you just leave the rock there, and it'll accumulate dust and soot and film and smoke. And just like your ceiling, it just has paint on it. But then if you have a kitchen, after a while it gets a layer. It gets a layer of soot and smoke and grease. And that has some weight. It's a substance. It has some weight, you know, microns or whatever. So that would, like the rock, the rain comes and the smoke and the car smoke and the smog and the, so many things and it collects over there. Or monkeys go poop on it or whatever. And it dries up. You know, gradually it builds up. So Prabhupada said, no, not possible, because this rock is not outside. It's in a mandir. And it's not collecting dust because they're bathing the rock every day. It's being constantly bathed. And it's being bathed and rubbed, and still it's getting bigger. And they had a small asan at one time, and then it was too small, and they made a bigger asan, and a bigger and bigger. So this is, at least that's what Prabhupada said on one lecture. And it's phenomenon. It's unbelievable things. Like years ago, there was some phenomenon in India that all the Shiva lingas on a particular day, and they say it expanded to Ganesh lingas also, no matter how much milk you poured on the linga, it just disappeared in the linga. Linga is like a phallus, you know, looks like this or something, like a phallus, and it represents the reproductive organ of Shiva, or it represents the matrix of creation. The yoni is the feminine, and the linga is the masculine. So unification of Purusha and Prakriti, Shiva and Durga. Prakriti is this whole material energy, like there's earth is there, then the rain falls from the heaven. The rain is like the semen of Vishnu. Then the earth is female, and the earth is like the womb, we say the womb of the earth. So the rain falls, and then the life, you know, grows from there. So this is the linga. So usually you bathe the linga, and it runs down into the yoni, and then it goes out a little drain, and it just goes in the street, or goes in the ground, or wherever, like the leftover. Like we have bathing the deities, and they collect all the charanamrita, goes into a big bucket or something. It looks a little funny, but it goes into some big buckets. Then they go and serve it out. So that's what's same. But this day, everyone was bathing, and it was just, there wasn't anything left over. All over India, and it was all over the world. Do you remember that? It's about 15 years ago. Do you remember? And everybody's going down their temple. Then they say, it's happening with Ganesh deities and this and that. So how do you explain? How does the scientist explain this one? No, they had some trap door there and it was going inside. So this, even here, everything is conscious. Krishna's here, trees, that they can be sages, they can be anybody, they can be devatas or sages or sons of Kubera. They're all eternal personalities. Manigriva and Nalukavara and Krishna's Leela eternally. They're eternally living in Vrindavan as trees. And they're eternally appearing as trees and eternally seeing Krishna's Leelas. They say the trees hear with their roots. So if you want to speak to trees, you're supposed to just bend down on the ground and speak like this. Hey, hello. Kadamba Viksha, you know. They say they hear with their roots. So all day long they're hearing Krishna's flute, going out, playing, coming back, and Gokul. Not much flute over there. Maybe Venu or something, little flute. baby flute.
That way in Nidivan, all the trees which are there,
yeah, they're all gopis.
It's a straight branch. And they're, as you say,
they say those are all sakis. They say that Nidivan and Sevakunj, it's all the area of rasa dance. It's all part of the Ras Leela. The gopis were thirsty, and Krishna dug some well with his flute, and then they rested in the Ranga Mahal, and they had Leela and Sevakunj, and they took rest in Nidivan, whatever. And Rati Vilas, you know, intimacy, amorous affairs, and Sevakunj, and resting in the Ranga Mahal in Nidivan. And it can be or there or anywhere, but it's commemorated there to remind us. But the point is, all these, they're not really trees, they're kind of a little more like shrubs in those places. They're very small. And they say those are all sakis that are dancing in the rasa dance. They're all sakis, and that they've taken that form to dance in the rasa dance. Then when they die, or when they leave that body, then they take the trunk and they take the wood and they throw in Yamuna, or they burn or whatever. But then they keep part of it and they worship it as a saki. Swami Haridasa's followers. So that's very, can be very much like that. It says that in one commentary, Vishnu Chakravarti Ujjalanilamani, he says that the cows and bulls in Vrindavan are the incarnations of great rishis and sages. That's the cows and bulls. And then they say, it's in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, this isn't a commentary of Vishnu, a 10th canto of Bhagavatam shloka, it says the birds and the trees are like, the gopis say in Venugita, 10:21, chapter 21. Oh, look, the birds and the trees, they're closing their eyes like great munis and to meditate on Krishna's flute sound. Because of Venugita, you know, they're glorifying. Everyone's absorbed in Krishna's flute, not only us. So they saw them as sages, and they can very well be sages. Because you see, even if the demons have the power to change their form, then what about the devotees? If because Agasura is not a snake. Agasura is a human being. He's a yogi. All these demons were kings, basically all of them except Putana, all of them were kings that were defeated by Kans. Kans went around the world, around the universe, beating everyone up. And Garga Samhita describes how amazingly heroic this Kans was. So then once he defeated them all, then he engaged them as his ministers and servants. And so his capital was Mathura. So he lived in Mathura. So Agasura, Bakasura, they're two brothers, Bakasura and Agasura. Then Pralambasura, and all these personalities, they're all kings. But they had mystic cities, so they could change their form, they could become invisible, they become snakes, they can become birds, they become monsters. And so what to speak of sages becoming trees? And your initial question was pious trees and impious trees, cactus. Cactus and desert type plants or something like a tree like that, and they're considered inauspicious or whatever. Kadamba and neem are auspicious or fruit trees, but that has nothing to do in Vrindavan. Vrindavan, you initially started about a stratification of varna and brahmins and different varnas and different classifications, because everything is spread across the three modes of nature in the prakriti and the material energy. There's so many sattvic representatives everywhere, and so many there's sattvic birds, rajasic birds, tamasic birds. There's sattvic fish, rajasic fish, tamasic fish. And then there's sattvic human beings, rajasic, and then tamasic. So the same thing. But now you come to Vrajadhamma, you come to Krishna's Leela, it's all Satchitananda. Every living entity is eternal in Krishna's Leela eternally. They all have Satchitananda forms. There's no modes of nature, and there's no varna and ashram. I mean, there's apparently, because it's Nara Leela, so it appears that there's Garga Muni, and it appears there's Durvasa Muni, they're Brahmins, and it appears there's kings, and whatnot. But that's their Leela role, but their bodies are Satchitananda, spiritual. Whether they're in trees or rocks, or Giriraj is a big rock, but he's Sakshat Krishna. So he's the ultimate Satchitananda. So all there's no negative. And Prabhupada Saraswati is telling in Vrindavan Mahimamrita, unless and until one can see all the living entities in Vrindavan have spiritual forms, he cannot make advancement in bhakti. You have to see the rickshaw wala and the rip-off artists and the cheating guys, and they all have spiritual bodies.